Lab Tech Unplugged, unearthing topics in the life sciences.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Lab Tech Unplugged, a podcast where we'll be discussing topics that impact the life sciences. We're excited to bring together some of our collaborators from across the industry to share their stories and experiences. In this first series, a spotlight on sustainable science, we'll be diving into the challenges and opportunities around sustainability in the lab. We're always learning more about how we can adopt greener practices. So thank you both for joining us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Rachel. Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having us on.
Good. So, Kerry, as someone who has been firmly involved in ESG, I wondered if you can start by telling us a bit about what sustainability means to you.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I think for me, Rachel, you know, it's about taking responsibility for your choices and your actions. I think this has become a way of life. At home, we consider sustainable choices in the way that we shop, in the way that we travel, etc. And I was interested and have been interested for some time in how that then translates into business and how you can use your experience to make good choices and play your part as we move forward. You know, as a marketeer, you know, and as a life science marketeer, you know, I believe my responsibility is, you know, how we can best communicate with our stakeholders, with our peers internally, and how we can influence our community to all move forward and make the right choices.
Wonderful, thank you. And Joby, what about you? Why are you interested in sustainability?
I think it stems from my upbringing. I was always brought up in a very environmentally conscientious way, based on my parenting, and I've always, you know, applied that in my personal life, as Kerry says. But being able to bring that into sort of the corporate world and industry and business is something that up until now hasn't really been possible in the industry that we work, at least. So I find that really enlightening and enabling, that we can actually start to make a difference. And I find it a motivating and a different angle to normal, being somebody that has always embraced technology and technological advancements. I think, you know, applying that to sustainability within the industry that I've worked for my whole career is really an exciting opportunity.
Thank you. Well, sustainability has long been a global issue, and it's been widely talked about across lots of different industries. So why is it important now that we're talking about it in respect to life sciences? Joby, can I direct that one to you?
Yeah, sure. I think it's obviously really important because everybody's got to stand together to make a difference. And I think, you know, no industry is untouchable from that. And I think historically, maybe life science, given the importance of the research that's going on and, you know, the impact on human health that everybody who works in this industry is clearly trying to have a positive impact on, has made it less of a significant topic for people, perhaps, compared to some other industries. So I think even though there's definitely a conscientiousness that's been around for decades, I don't think people have felt there's a possibility to have a sustainability or a strong sustainability angle in the type of work they do in laboratory-based research. And I think, you know, in the last couple of years, that's really changed, and there's been a real big push towards actually trying to do something about it within the life science industry. Life science industry is very large. You know, it's nearly a $200 billion industry. So if everybody, you know, puts the right foot forward and does their bit, then obviously it can have a substantial impact on overall sustainability.
And you mentioned there that there's been a recent push. So I wondered, what do you think are the factors then that are driving this change in the life sciences? Kerry, do you have anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few things. You know, major factor for me is, you know, scientists, you know, to Joby's point there, they're in the industry because they want to do the right thing. And I think that extends to, you know, operating in a more sustainable fashion. You know, they have, you know, responsible attitudes, which I think, you know, they're very keen to apply to a more sustainable way of doing science. And I think that's a great place to start. I don't think all industries are in that position. I think, you know, trying to change people's behaviour, which is very, very hard, you know, is a challenge elsewhere, but not one for the life sciences industry. I think another factor is, you know, the publicity of data. You know, we know that there's endless amounts of it, and now it's becoming, you know, far more visible to everyone. So, you know, lots of reports being produced year on year, you know, one back in 2022, produced by My Green Lab, for example, you know, estimates that, you know, the pharma and biotech industries alone are responsible for sort of 260 million tons of CO2 each year. I mean, that's huge, huge amounts. So as Joby said, again, as an industry, you know, we are large, and therefore that means the impact that we can potentially make is a large one. And I think it's a good thing having that data visible to everyone, because it, you know, it puts on a little bit of pressure, but a positive pressure. Other areas or factors, I think, are driving some changes, you know, funding. You know, if we look at the biotech research in particular, you know, investors are sort of taking some responsibility about, you know, incentivizing biotechs to make more responsible decisions when it comes to sustainability and the choices that they're making. So, again, I think that's a new trend that we've seen in our engagement with the biotechs in particular. You know, if we look at government investment, slightly different in that, you know, there's a lot of legislation that's been introduced and ever more so year on year. And there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, ESG themes and commitments that bodies are having to make when they're relying on their funding coming from government. You know, and last but not least, obviously large pharma, you know, of that, you know, large portion of CO2 that we talked about there, you know, large pharma are responsible for a good portion of that, and therefore they seek to make the biggest impact. And I think, you know, one of the influences on those brands in particular is public perception. You know, they do have consumer brands alongside their R&D outputs. And again, I think that puts a big spotlight on the choices that they're making. So, yes, I think it's a number of factors, but they're certainly some of the ones that, you know, we're seeing more prevalent as we're engaging with our communities and our customers.
Yeah, and you mentioned pharma and biotech there and some quite significant statistics. And so with SBT LabTech being a vendor to both of those, what do you see then is SBT LabTech's role in contributing to more sustainable practices? Joby, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think we always have seen ourselves much more than just a vendor. I think we see ourselves as a partner and a collaborator to our customers across biotech, pharma and academic research, and always have. And I think as well as that, we've always been a leader in terms of innovation and bringing new innovative technologies to enable those researchers and those customers to do what they want to do as they advance their scientific research. And I think the way I look at it, sustainability is treated in a very similar vein from our point of view. It's up to us as the people that can innovate around the tools and the technologies to enable them to do things in a different way that's a more sustainable way. And I think fundamentally the very same rules apply that always have in terms of bringing these products to market. I think we can bring a sustainability strategy to the customers that can enable them. And, you know, a good example of that would be some of the miniaturization technologies that we've produced over the years that really reduce the amount of plastic used in an experiment. It's a very simple, tangible thing, but it just shows that, you know, a technological advancement can make a difference in terms of the sustainability, in terms of waste production. So there's lots of things there. I think Carrie may have some additional thoughts to add to that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, obviously, technology is you know, a huge part to play. And as a, you know, a technology innovator, I think that's where we feel like we're going to have a big impact. But also, I think it's thinking about, you know, the expertise and the services that run alongside those that also can have a positive impact. You know, the theme of circularity, for example, is a prevalent one for any technology provider in any industry. And, you know, that's thinking about how do we increase the life of our technologies. You know, that's making sure that obviously quality and engineering upfront is great, but also the service and support to maintain, you know, the life of the investment that our users have made into that automation, you know, ultimately avoid, you know, redundancy. There's, you know, it's waste in itself when you've got, you know, highly expensive equipment sitting there not being used. You know, and the ultimate success is if those those instruments can come back to us in some shape or form when they have run their course, and they then become something else. So I think for us, it's not just about, you know, what approach do we take in, you know, designing new solutions, but also thinking about, you know, the life of those instruments in the long term. You know, to Joby's point there, you know, as an organisation, that's how we generally go about doing things. It's not about an out-of-the-box solution. It is challenging the status quo and being quite disruptive in making people think about doing things in different ways. And I think that extends to, commercially and, the lifelong investment, not just the core technology itself.
Thank you. So then I guess thinking back to then the industry as a whole, I wonder if you could speak a bit about the progress that's been made so far and what improvements you think we've seen already.
I mean, I'll pick that one up, Rachel. I think, I would start with reporting, which sounds a simple thing, but, you know, as I talked earlier about, you know, more and more data is becoming, you know, visible to everyone. I think having some consistent reporting and frameworks in place allows people to report in much more of a uniform fashion. People are talking in the same language, they're referring to the same metrics, and ultimately allows people to strive for the same goals. And I think that's a huge step forward that we've seen, you know, in recent years, in all industries, but in particular in life sciences. I think what comes with that is, you know, an increasing myriad of frameworks, legislation, certifications. Even geographically, there are nuances, and trying to sort of keep an understanding of that is, well, a nightmare, and something, as I said at the beginning, has tried to sort of increasingly be my responsibility or an extension of my role, and it's not an easy one. Trying to then translate that back into the business to help people understand what choices we could make, how we can prioritise, and ultimately what we need to provide to, you know, a series of stakeholders, both internally as well as externally. So progress is great, comes with that is a number of challenges. I think also in terms of providing visibility and understanding, you know, where people are having a big impact, that's a step forward. So, for example, plastic waste. I think we all knew it was a problem. Did we know how big a problem? Perhaps not. And at the moment, it's, you know, quoted to be about 2% of all global plastic waste is coming out of our industry. And that's ultimately something we have to take responsibility for. So, perhaps something that Joby might want to pick up on in terms of, you know, how we take on that challenge. But again, I think that's, you know, a step forward that at least we've got transparency to how big the problem is.
Yeah, agreed. I think, The waste problem is, as I said before, the most tangible and obvious one, and one where I think it's quite easy to see some quick wins. And there's also some longer term things that we can be doing as technology providers to help with that. I think, you know, the obvious things around packaging and the weight of plastic in a plastic disposable consumable that's used in a research experiment, all of those things that everybody can start to look at and reduce. I think that they're obvious things that we should all do and are beginning to do. And, you know, there's some big strides being made there. I think looking beyond that, from a sort of product and R&D perspective, it's looking at things like reduction of power consumption of instruments, auto standby modes, etc. You see a lot of instruments in labs that are kind of just on all the time for no good reason. So things like that. And I think, as Kerry has mentioned, some sort of changes in commercial strategy also can help, such as leasing schemes, whereby customers, you know, don't necessarily have to buy and own a piece of equipment if they're going to only use it for a short term project. They're things that we're now starting to offer more routinely. And as Kerry said, the kind of long-term circularity of instruments or components or sub components of instruments, refurbishing pipetting heads, for example, again, it's something that we're looking at and implementing proactively. So there's lots of things that we're already tackling, and there's a lot more to go at as well.
Thank you. Yes, it seems like a lot has been done, but there's still improvements to make, but at least we're starting to highlight areas where we can make those improvements. So I think before we end this first episode, I just want to ask you both, what would be your one takeaway for the audience from today's discussion. Carrie, if we start with you.
Yeah, of course. I think I come back round to the sort of the statement I made at the beginning of this chat, and you know, how can people bring their experience and their speciality, you know, to the table and to play their small part. I don't think, you know, it's such a big challenge. Nobody can overcome it all in isolation. So I think, you know, it's about people considering what their experience is and how they can play their part, and ultimately how people can collaborate together, I think, again, is another key takeaway. We will get there a lot faster if people are prepared to work together. So I think they are the two sort of main takeaways from my side.
How about you, Joby?
I think it's just ensuring that the conversation is kept at the forefront, and the sustainability is something that, you know, isn't just a passing fad. It's it's something that's here to stay, and it becomes intrinsic in the way people operate and the way businesses are run, and the way decisions are made within companies, in order to advance, as I keep saying, advancing the offering that we can offer the community, the research community. And I think that the vendors have a strong part to play in that. So I think keeping it front and centre, keeping it in people's minds, and, you know, it's going to be achieved by lots of little steps, not one big one. So that's the takeaway from me.
Thank you. Well, I think that's as good a place as any to leave things for today. I hope you all enjoyed this short but sweet episode, which will set us up for our series on sustainability. Just a reminder that we do have more episodes on the way where we're inviting other speakers to join us. So if you'd like to be notified for the next episode, then please make sure to subscribe. And if you'd like to get involved, ask questions, if you have feedback or would like to submit a topic idea, then you can reach out to us at community@sptlabtech.com. So lastly, I'd like to thank both Kerry and Joby for your time and joining us today. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.